Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Honasa Consumer Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Pooja Kubadia. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to 1Q FY26 earnings conference call for Honasa Consumer Limited. Today on call, we have Mr. Varun Alagh, Co-founder, Chairman, and CEO, Ms. Ghazal Alagh, Co-founder and CIO, and Mr. Ramanpreet Sohi, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Varun for his opening remarks. Over to you.
Thanks, Pooja. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Q1 FY26 call. I'll take you through the presentation for the next 10 minutes, and then we will open for FAQs. Starting with the first section, which we have been capturing in the past as well, which is our view on how the future of Indian beauty and personal care is shaping up. In the past, we've talked about sun care, serumization, premiumization of face care and hair care, and today, we are talking about growth of color cosmetics category. We believe there are three core macro reasons which are leading to the growth in this category. The first, of course, being increased women participation in the Indian workforce, which is a phenomenon that continues, and I think the next couple of decades will be a strong tailwind for this category. The second is how the adoption of this category is becoming younger over decades. A few decades ago, in the last century, this used to be an after-marriage category, which is why bridal sets used to be the biggest sort of beauty color cosmetic drivers. Over time, it went to first job, then to college, right, and now is reaching school levels in terms of the adoption of this category. We believe, looking at the global trends, the category adoption will continue to become younger, as well as the category, the width of category adoption will continue to become wider. It used to be just a two-product category in the last century, which was lipstick, kajal, and probably some compact. From that, the category has evolved quite a lot, and now a lot of different types of lip products, lip liners, concealers, etc., are also becoming mainstay. A combination of these three levers will ensure that this category grows the fastest amongst all cohorts in BPC over the next decade or so. We believe that by 2028 itself, this is going to be a 17,000 category. By 2030, this should be a more than 20,000 crore category, of which lip should be the largest subsegment. And that's the subsegment that we are actually currently focusing on strongly with our play in Staze as well as in Mamaearth. And we're quite optimistic and bullish on how both the category and our play in it will work. Outside of this, coming back to the quarter one FY26 performance, we've delivered our highest-ever quarterly revenue and PAT in the history of the organization, which is also a short history, about eight and a half years. But in that journey, this is the highest quarter in terms of revenue and PAT that we have had. This is a 7.5% YoY growth, 11.6% sequential growth. Gross margin has seen improvement by 48 basis points. EBITDA at 7.7%, which is a sequential improvement of 260 basis points. And the quality of growth is actually even healthier because, again, this is a volume UVG is at 12.5%, is 300 basis points ahead of the value growth. So it's a volume-led growth. Working capital continues to be negative. This growth could have been higher if the early onset of monsoon would not have taken place. There is some impact in our largest category, which is sunscreen, that we have seen on account of softness in sunscreen category in June. But overall, this is the performance that we have had in Q1. If you look at it from an EBITDA perspective, sequentially, we have gotten 264 basis points better. This is on account of gross margin expansion, increased salience of the offline channel, as well as the scale leverage that we've seen coming overheads. We've continued to work on efficiency and effectiveness levers to make sure that our bottom line grows faster than our top line as we move forward from here. From a highlights perspective, I think the first key thing for me to talk about is the strategy of focus categories. I think while overall value growth is in single digits, but focus categories, which contribute now already to about 80% of our revenues, have grown in double digits. And that's a healthier indicator of our strategic shift that we can see. And this is actually across be it in online or in offline, where we've seen the focus category approach working for us. We'll continue to double down on this approach, and we're confident that this will lead to even better results in the future. Mamaearth was a clear area of focus that we have talked about over the last few quarters and continues to be a strong area of focus for the company. In Q4, we talked about how in modern trade and e-commerce, the focus categories had turned positive. Now, in Q1, the focus categories in these channels have actually turned double digit. And the focus categories across all channels have now turned positive. So again, the change in strategy that we have done is showing results. And this growth is also now competitive growth, because if you look at Nielsen shares in offline or our e-com shares, they are actually growing YoY and sequentially respectively. So we are seeing healthy green shoots of the strategy that we've implemented, which is basically a three-pronged strategy. Focus on sharp category partitions, and in those category partitions have superior products. Awareness led brand building, right, and an always on media strategy. This is what we've been executing starting February, and we're seeing healthy results from the same. In fact, in the latest Kantar brand health track, amongst the online buyers, Mamaearth is now perceived as the number one face cleanser and shampoo in the brand power survey that Kantar does, which is again a healthy sign of the brand pull and confidence that we are building amongst consumers. Apart from Mamaearth, the GT distribution has been a continuous area of focus, and happy to say there also the green shoots continue. The strengthening in terms of infrastructure quality is now paying off in terms of earlier the secondary sales growth was healthy in terms of sequential. Now even on YoY basis, that growth is becoming healthy. From a direct outlet reach perspective, we've gained by 50%. Nielsen also is showing a growth of 20% in terms of our distribution numbers. And modern trade offtakes are also healthy. All in all, the pain that we sort of took is starting to pay off in terms of foods. We are still continuing our work on fundamental infrastructure improvement, because this is going to be a long-term lever of growth for us. And that work, both in terms of capability, processes, and infrastructure, will continue to take shape. Apart from this, the young brands continue on strong growth trajectory, with a 20% plus growth in Q1 as well. In all of the young brands, we are looking at now building plus one categories out of their four categories. Or partitions. In Be Blunt, hair fall as a partition, Aqualogica moisturizers as a portfolio, Dr. Sheth's serums as a portfolio. And Stay's lipstick as a portfolio is what we are focusing on building. and we are seeing strong green shoots in all of these. Dermacol, of course, continues its strong trajectory. We are very confident this is going to be our next 1,000 crore brand over the next few years. It's also earlier, so the two categories which were strong for the brand and had a 200 crore plus run rate were serum and sunscreen. We are happy to inform that we now have a third category within the brand, which has touched more than 100 crore run rate and is growing at 100% plus in terms of growth, with acne as a partition being the partition where the brand is doing well. In Q1, we've also entered in hair care as a category, which itself is a 13,000 crore category, with the hair fall as a partition and peptide SunCell as a technology that we've used to enter into that partition. Our objective will be, like face cleanser, to build this into a strong category for the brand. We continue to strengthen the offline channel with strong focus on offtakes and expansion in chemist outlets. Overall, the brand continues to deliver superlative growth, right, and share gain across areas. Innovation continues to be a strong pillar for us. We have now aligned it more towards, again, the focus categories that we have called out. Within those categories, entering into new partitions, strengthening current partitions is the role that innovation is clearly driving. Across the brands, we've done effective innovations with strong launch rationales, which you can see here. Apart from innovation, of course, renovation continues to be a very strong focus area. We have talked about product superiority being something that is on our minds all the time, and we are trying to enhance and improve product chassis across our portfolios. In the past, we have talked about how in serum and in face wash, we have tracked blind test winning commercialized formulations, which are beating the core competition in blind tests. Happy to inform that we now have a shampoo formulation as well, which has beaten the leading global brand in blind testing by a decent surf margin. We are now commercializing this across our shampoo portfolio in Mamaearth. We have also taken pride in the fact that as a company, we are India first, and we build for Indian consumers, right, and contexts. Taking cue from that, our innovation team has been working on this technology called anti-pollution factors. India has a pollution problem, and of course, in the next H2, this will become a large problem across cities. We wanted to make sure that our sunscreens, right, which provide sun protection, not only provide protection from sun, but also provide from pollutants. That's the technology that we have been able to launch in Aqualogica called APF, which is an anti-pollution factor technology that provides 80% protection from external pollutants. Now we have that as part of our sunscreen portfolio. We've also been listening to consumer conversations around need for skin type-based skincare. In line with that, brand like Dermacol, where we have our 1% hyaluronic sunscreen portfolio that we have extended into different skin types now, with a different sunscreen for dry, normal, and oily. This is also something that consumers have responded very well to. We'll continue our strong focus on listening to consumers and innovating for the Indian consumer. Apart from brands, the next focus area has been around investing in people. We have a few leadership changes that we have seen. We have Yatish, who has joined us as Chief Business Officer and comes with 15 years of experience across Unilever and Flipkart. Good offline, online exposure joins us to lead the business teams across online and offline systems. We've also seen elevation of two of our leaders who have been with us for more than 3 years, Vilash and Karan, who've taken over as Chief Supply Chain and Chief Human Resource Officer. Yeah. Apart from this, we've also launched a milestone-based ESOP plan for our leadership cohort. This is a plan which is whereby everyone's goals are aligned now to certain organizational EBITDA and revenue milestones. The plan gets unlocked, and everyone creates value when, as an organization, we hit those milestones. Bringing a certain cohesiveness amongst the leadership group in driving organizational-level goals, as well as excitement and retention in the talent pool that we have built. Apart from this, our work on purpose and giving back to community continues strongly. Mamaearth is now very close to its goal of planting 1 million trees. Dharmaco has provided science education to more than 30,000 kids. Aqualogica has provided clean water plants to more than 900 households. Bee Blunt has provided salon certifications to more than 15,000 women and doctor sheds. Vehicles which do health checkups in multiple villages, right, have now completed 32,000 plus health checkups. So as our brands grow, our contribution to communities also continues to grow. Thank you so much for listening in. Would love to answer the questions that you have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star then one. Our first question comes from the line of Dheeraj Mistry from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Varun. First of all, congrats on decent performance for the quarter. So the first question is regarding Young Brand. So which was growing at 30% plus earlier. Now that growth has come back, come to the 20% plus growth. I understand that the base is now getting a bit bigger. But how do you see the competitive intensity in this segment? So because we have seen that some of the large players have repositioned their flagship brands with active ingredient place plus some of the science-based products also. So how's the competitive intensity in those segments and how you are planning to mitigate that?
Hi, thank you for asking the question. I think firstly, I would agree with the fact that, you know, the size of this cohort has actually become large. It's actually more than 50% contribution now. And, so as a group, it's actually bigger than Mamaearth for us now. And, and which is where the base effect does come into play. And, within that environment, a 20% plus continuous sort of, you know, growth will make sure that it is a share gain play that we continue to do. And, also specifically referring to what I talked about, the sunscreen impact is also higher within this cohort itself, because this is the cohort where we have brands which have almost 70% contribution coming from sunscreen as a category. And so there is a bit of that early monsoon impact as well. And, competitive intensity, I would say, is high and has been increasing. And, but I think that's a reality that we are fairly tuned into. And we just need to ensure that be it our formulations, propositions, or our communications remain ahead of the curve, and, so that consumers choose our brands. So I'm not as worried about that. That's a that's a you know edge that we need to sort of internally develop. And, but yeah, I mean, that's my view on that.
Yeah. And so if you can help us the growth excluding of sunscreen impact, what would be the growth for the full for this quarter?
Yeah, that is like, so honestly, there is a, at a company level, you know, I would say the impact of sunscreen growth is about 200 basis points. You know, I mean, of course, then it can be, rest of the math can be done, but at a company level, the impact is about 200 basis.
Yeah, I completely understand that. And second question is regarding the profitability front. So we have seen decent increase in our profitability during the quarter. So what percentage of this contribution would be because of the lower A&P spend for this young brands? We now that has been becoming big, and also in a way it will help us to see the what is the profitability of this younger brand, and if you can break up between PDH and others, other younger brands.
Yeah, so I mean, like we have talked about in the past, right? I mean, brand profitabilities are a journey, right, of their age and scale. Derma Co. became, you know, profitable last year, became a single digit, now is a high single digit level of profitability. Rest of the brands, of course, are still in invest zone, and hence are not profitable, expected to become profitable in next couple of fiscal years, basically. And that's the journey which they are all tracking on, is how it's up.
Okay. And third and last question from my end. So now the base would be catching up, or let's say the low base of Mamaearth would be catching up because of the general trade reset what we have done. For the remaining part of the year, is it safe to assume that we can aim for double-digit top-line growth and with improvement in profitability also?
Yes, we do believe that for the remaining part of the year, right, we'll have good double-digit value growth. And from a profitability perspective, we should be in this zone of 7% for the rest of the year as well.
Okay. Thank you, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, participants who are connected through webcast may post their text questions as well. Our next question comes from the line of Sukrit D. Patil from Eyesight Fintrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the Honasa team, and I have a specific question for Mr. Varun Alagh. Yes, Mr. Varun Alagh, good evening. How are you?
Very well.
Yeah. Hi, so this is Sukrit Patil here. So my question is, as Honasa grows across brands and offline stores, what are the key bets you are making that you believe will drive the next phase of growth? And if some of these bets, like new formats or markets, don't work out, what is your backup plan to protect margins and keep the momentum going? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I think, like we have discussed today as well as in the past, there are seven focus categories that we have chosen, which have been carefully chosen, keeping in mind the kind of growth, right to win, gross margin profiles, etc., that we have you know seen for these categories. And these are the categories in which our ambition is to over time become market leaders, you know, as a company. And I think that's the strategy that we would continue to implement. Now, within that, whatever consumer needs, innovations, price points need to be serviced, you know, we will continuously listen and provide those products to the consumers. And, but overarching, that will be the category strategy, you know, followed by a strategy of ensuring that we win across distribution channels. And, be it in online or in offline, and by doing right database investments in online and right infrastructural investments in offline. And combination of these two, we are confident will lead to market-leading growth for our brands in the medium term.
Okay, so just to close the loop, as the competition rises, are there any long-term levers like tech or supply chain or brand partnerships that Honasa is planning in the coming days? And if you are planning some partnerships, can you discuss it with which firm are you planning?
I think the long-term levers for us would continue to be, they have been in the past, data and technology. That continues to be a very strong part of all decisioning that we do even within the company today, and which is based on data and now based on a lot of LLMs that we have been internally instituting. Apart from that, the right media mix modeling, the right distribution partnerships with be it the offline or with the online players, be it e-commerce or QC players, and as well as strong partnerships with digital ecosystem partners like Google and Meta, and, are what we are relying on and building strongly and, to deliver our plans.
Okay. Thank you very much for your guidance and best of luck for all your future endeavors ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mehul Desai from JM. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is obviously on the younger brands. If X of TDC, if you can give some flavor on, Aqualogica, Dr. Sheth's, Deep Lens Stays, how these have done in the quarter, and is any of the brand where you are seeing results which are better than your expectations, and any of the brands where you think more work needs to be done? That's the first question. And the second question is on the margin side. Obviously, you did guide that, 7% is something that can be sustained in FY26. On that, I just wanted to, double click one on the staff cost. Do we see the 60 crore run rate sustaining? And also the other expenditure this quarter, I mean, there has been just a 10% growth. So it's a decent control that has been done on other expenses as well as the A&P spend side. So how do you see these cost line items also, whether, that can sustain, especially on the A&P side? These are my two questions.
Thanks, Mehul. So on the younger brand side, I mean, we have we've been talking of them as a portfolio. We will continue to talk about them as a portfolio because comparatively, nobody else diffuses brand level growth. And, that said, and, I think from a quarter one only performance perspective, like I said, the brands which have much higher sunscreen reliance, like Dr. Sheth's and Aqua, and were relatively behind plan. And, but we are very confident that over the year, they will catch up to their plans, and the balance brands actually did ahead of plan. And, but overall, that's the picture that we saw. And, they're all sort of, in their journeys, they're all building other categories also, which becomes important to diversify. And in those other categories, we're seeing high double-digit growth for most of these brands. So we're confident that over time, that will also get built up, and the diversification risk will also get reduced. Apart from that, on your point of margins, I think finally we have, these are the large cost heads for us, meaning the A&P and the OPEX cost head. Gross margin, like I said, we have been continuously focusing on, and we've seen slight improvement as well. And, but these are the two places from which we expect efficiencies, effectiveness, not just in this year, but also in the coming years to go. And hence, these are the two focus areas where we continue our controls. And, of course, because of the ESOP plan, we do expect some, higher impact on OPEX size, but overall, because of the effectiveness in A&P, etc., and we'll still be able to manage and deliver the 7% that we have talked about.
We also
Hope that answers.
Questions? No response from the line of current participant. We'll move on to the next question. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star, then one, to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Jitendra Arora from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Company Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Varun, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just want to understand from you, since we talked about the journey of margins and how they are a factor of scale and the age of particular brands. So just from your vantage point, as and when these brands, let's say, achieve a certain scale of, let's say, 1,000 crores or 1,500 crores, what kind of milestones do you have in mind as an organization that you would want these brands to see at? So would it be, let's say, a mid-teens kind of things, high teens, or maybe in early 20s where we see some of the more mature organizations having their margins?
Hi, Jitendra. How are you? So to answer your question, again, we are very early in this journey. We do believe from our next 4-5-year view that some of our larger brands will surely be in the mid-teen kind of EBITDA range. And from there on, we will need to further see the journey of next 5 years, how it shapes. The other difference that we also see is the online versus offline kind of brand presence and creation, which is there between us versus some of the other FMCGs, where their online contribution is supposed to go up, our offline contribution is supposed to go up. But yeah, from a next 4-5 years perspective, we can still see that mid-teen in our top brands to be surely happening. And beyond that, I think in a few years, we'll be able to give you a healthier version of where do we see it from the next 7-8 years.
To put it differently, in terms of what kind of improvements do we expect to see, let's say, year-on-year? Earlier, we had, I think, said that we will see 100-150 basis points improvement on an annual basis for at least a few years till we reach. So do you think we are there on that journey that from here, let's say, if we are around 7%, we see a 100 basis points kind of improvement at least for next 2-3 years, if not more, and then we want obviously.
Very much. Not just 2, 3, right, but probably for the next 5-6 years, we want to ensure that that's the journey of improvement that we continue to be on.
Thank you. And just one last question on how are we tracking in terms of market share in quick commerce versus, let's say, the GT channel?
So actually, the right question comparison will not be QC versus GT. So quick commerce versus GT, our market shares are far higher in quick commerce compared to our market shares in GT. Actually, our internal benchmark has been quick commerce versus e-commerce shares. And in almost all of our focus categories, our quick commerce shares are higher than our e-commerce shares, which is where it's a very healthy sign that any transition that happens from any other channel towards quick commerce is actually going to be healthier for us.
Can we say the same about the margins? As in, so if the shift
From a margin perspective, compared to e-commerce, the margins are better.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pratik from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. Hi, Varun. This is Pratik from HSBC. I have a couple of questions. You did highlight it in the presentation, but I'd appreciate it if you can elaborate more on how the core brand Mamaearth is doing across your focus and non-focus categories, please. My second question is on A&P expenses. So they are running at about 35% of sales as of now, of course, with different levels for different brands. Can you elaborate on what kind of levels does a mature brand need and what are we basically heading towards for the mature brands, say Mamaearth and Derma Co. in a few years? Some color on that would be helpful.
Yeah. I think the first question, like I said, right, we had recognized a few clear interventions needed in Mamaearth, around October, November of last year. We took some time and worked on building a plan as well as content and strategy to execute these interventions, which we started executing from February onwards. In Q4 itself, we could see some green shoots of these interventions in e-com and modern trade channels, where the focus categories, which contribute about, at that time, about 65% to the brand, had started to grow in single digits in these channels. In Q1, the focus categories now contribute to close to 70% plus of the brand, and are growing double digits in e-com and MT and across all channels in single digits. So again, you know, showing green shoots in the right direction, right, on the strategy that we have adopted. Like I said, if we continue to see these gains, we are confident that over the year, the brand, you know, overall should also be back to growth profile, and then from there onwards to, you know, a stronger growth profile over years, is how we see that shaping. In terms of A&P expenses, especially for larger, more mature brands, and we think.
Yes, thank you for that.
This is something that we want to.
On the second question?
Yeah, I was just taking that up.
Hello, am I audible?
In terms of, yes, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Okay, so I'll continue. On the A&P trajectory, we believe over the majority of brands, and this number should settle around 27%-28% for brands, right, as they sort of grow over the next few years.
Pratik, sir, does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you for that. So you're saying 27%-28% is for mature brands, and it'll probably be higher for different brands, depending on their journey?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering that. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Neil Doshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Doshi, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question. Mr. Neil Doshi, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question. Mr. Neil Doshi, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question. As there is no response from the line of the current participant, we'll move on to the next question. We have the next follow-up question coming from the line of Pratik from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity again. A quick bookkeeping question, please. Your standalone numbers seem to have been restated. Can you please elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, hi. I think that's because of the approval of the merger of our two entities, which are wholly owned subsidiaries, Fusion, which houses the brand Dr. Sheth's, and there was another entity called Just for Kids. Those two got approved for merger, and hence they have been our standalone financials have been reinstated to that account.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Aditi Parmar from iWealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am, you're audible. Please go.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to ask that there is significant amount of cash in the balance sheet. So, are you looking for any acquisitions in the future? Or how are you going to utilize this cash?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for asking the question. Yes, we do have a healthy balance in cash balance on the balance sheet and continues to grow with the negative working capital and profitable profile of the company. We continue to look at potential acquisition opportunities which could be portfolio additive in nature in the areas which we feel are strong growth hypothesis areas for the category. We currently don't have is in the stage that we can share with you, but that's a continuous exercise. We continue to do that, and we'll also look at figuring out younger opportunities that we can participate in future and to utilize this capital and to drive growth from a long-term perspective. Outside of that, in the medium term, we'll also look at dividend as a strategy.
Okay, so that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star then one. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Mehul Desai from JM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question again on the profitability side, Varun. Obviously, you had guided for, 150 basis kind of improvement going ahead. Now, obviously, this year itself, we are at 7-odd%. Would you still maintain that guidance of, 150 basis expansion year on year continuing over medium term, or you would say that obviously this year obviously you have got it ahead of your expectation?
Exact math but like we mentioned, the attempt is to improve profitability by 100 to 150 basis points each year. And so if you look at from a CAGR perspective, years might vary, some will be higher, some will be lower, but overall that's the trend line that we follow in the coming 4 to 5 years.
Sure, got it. And lastly, from a regional performance perspective, is there any underlying trend that you would like to highlight? Whether in the north, south, east, west, is there something different on a regional performance perspective?
Honestly, no significant differential in performance. But what I would say is, being a north-based company, we believe that we haven't leveraged on the south opportunity as well and as we should have, and that's a internal focus area for us on how to get our vernacular communications as well as our inciting right, and to better serve the south markets and make sure that our shares are fairly indexed across the region.
Sure. Got it. Thanks, Varun, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kimberly Pais from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to know that there were a few articles about us getting to the beauty device, beauty tech sort of market. Is this an area of interest for us, and how big would it be if it is?
No, currently, no strategic interest in that area. The article did not have any backing from the company and its spokespeople.
Okay. Noted. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vismay Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, Varun and team. Varun, if you'd share an update on Project Neev, how are things trending now that it's been almost 8 to 10 months of that project? And any updates on the distributors that you appointed? Is there any churn or how stable that bit is? That's the question for me.
Thanks, Vismay. I think like I mentioned, all our efforts on stabilizing and building an infrastructure which can service our plans over the next 5 years, right? I think we're going in the right direction, right? The direct distribution metrics, like I said, are 50% up, and our inventory levels are very well under control now. Less than 30 days on our direct distributors. We have zero overdues in terms of credit and a very healthy credit profile also. We continue to improve the quality of our partners one geographical cell at a time. That's an ongoing work in terms of improving our infrastructure. But I would say, of course, the worst is behind us, right? But the best is still ahead of us. We still need to continue to work in terms of improving infrastructure quality across cells, and which is an effort both in terms of people, capability, and partners, and that our teams are doing.
Mr. Agarwal, does that answer your question?
Yeah, the line broke in between. Got the answer, Varun. Thanks for that. Varun, just one more bit is on the statement that is there in the presentation where you say the secondary sales are going on a healthy rate. But when I look at the Mamaearth overall brand performance, it's probably a slight decline, whatever that quantum be. And then I would assume the generative part of it is where there's still some bit of rationalization and the non-focus part, the exo-focus part rather, which you're doing. So from that aspect, is this still a difference between the primary and secondary sales, the way the brand is trending, or not so much?
So very slight difference in case of Mamaearth, where we still continue to be very sort of sharp about correcting assortment and driving the right portfolio. But then there is also the positive delta that the channel is getting from Dermaco scale-up and introduction, combination of which is leading to positive sort of momentum at a channel level.
Good. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varun Alagh for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everyone, for patiently listening in and asking your valuable questions. We look forward to meeting you again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Honasa Consumer Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.